Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. Of course, you can't listen while you're talking, so you need to be very quiet as you're drawing. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The title of my sermon is, "Who will roll the stone away?" Who will roll the stone away? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, firstly, I want to thank you that I have the privilege of delivering this wonderful news. There is no better news to proclaim in the universe than what I deliver today. This news has the power to change a person's eternal destiny for the good. This news has the power to heal and set people free. Lord, my prayer is that this will happen today. Amen. To say it had been a horrendous weekend for these three women who were very early in the morning walking to the tomb of Jesus is an understatement. Just the day before the Sabbath, they had witnessed Jesus, their miracle worker, their anointed one, their perfect one, their amazing teacher and friend, being dreadfully abused and tortured at the hand of the Roman soldiers, which had culminated into his brutal crucifixion. These women were traumatized. Their hearts were literally broken. They had barely slept for the last two nights. But now they were on their way to finish a very important task that they were unable to do on the night of his death. Because of the fast approaching Sabbath, the women were not able to suitably prepare the body of Jesus for burial. He had not been fully anointed with spices and perfumes. He had not been embalmed, as was the custom of the day. So these three women were determined to do what should be done for this wonderful man that they had loved with all their hearts. After all, the very least they could do is to correctly prepare his body for burial. They couldn't stop him from dying in such a violent way, but they could afford his marred dead body some respect. So they walked together with their spices, perfumes, oils, and cloths to the tomb. There was very little, if any, conversation on the way, each one lost in their own deep, hopeless thoughts. Each one sadly gazing downward as they walked their own private procession to the tomb. It became obvious that their lowly procession involved little conversation because suddenly, just before they arrived, one of them remembers something very important in the scheme of things and says, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Oh no, in all the agony, the hurt and heartache, they hadn't thought about that one. They thought about the spices and the perfumes. They thought about the oils and the cloths, but not the stone that the Roman guards had rolled in front of the tomb on the night of his death. This was not good. They quickly realized that they weren't going to be able to reach his body, and the Roman sentinels guarding the tomb certainly weren't going to let them near him. The guards had their orders to follow. They didn't care about the wishes of three bereaved women. Their job was to stop people from getting to Jesus. No one was getting to Jesus. He's gone. The stone's been rolled into place. So for these ladies, just when they thought things couldn't get any worse, they did, because they can't reach Jesus. They can't correctly prepare his body for burial. And they had so wanted to touch him, to look at him just one last time. But then the Bible says they looked up. They looked up. They were looking down because they were in mourning, because they were hurting and depressed, because they needed to watch carefully where they were walking through tearful, swollen, red eyes. But then the desperate women, after realizing they wouldn't be able to reach Jesus, looked up. They looked up. The minute they looked up, it just so happened that the nightmare of the last couple of days began to fade. The minute they looked up, it just so happened that the nightmare of the last couple of days began to fade. There's a lesson in that. Look up. Look up. When you can't feel Jesus, look up. When you can't see Jesus, look up. When you can't hear Jesus, look up. Because when these girls looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very, very large, had been rolled away. Rolled away. And now they had access to Jesus. It wasn't supposed to be rolled away. That's not what the so-called authorities wanted. The Roman authorities didn't want it to be rolled away. That's why the soldiers were posted on guard. The religious authorities didn't want it to be rolled away. They were contentedly probably sleeping in at home, believing that Jesus has been buried for good, done and dusted. The demonic authorities didn't want it to be rolled away. Satan thought he had it in the bag. Man had done his bidding. Mankind had rolled that stone right in front of the tomb to stop people from reaching out to God, to stop people from touching him. The authorities of this world didn't want the stone to be rolled away. They were not expecting it, but it was. The stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Well, who rolled the stone away? Now, that's a real question. The question has been changed. It's no longer who's going to roll the stone away, but who rolled the stone away? It's already been done. Who rolled the stone away? It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the disciples, and it certainly wasn't Satan. It wasn't even Jesus. Who rolled the stone away? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because the answer to this question is extremely important. Let us have a look at Matthew 28, verse 2. Matthew 28, verse 2. At some point early in the morning, before the women got there, Matthew 28, verse 2, it says, "There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Who rolled away the stone? An angel of the Lord. That's who. Children, who rolled away the stone? Who said Jesus? Now listen here. An angel of... Well done, Macy. Oh, is that Macy? Oh, hi. Well done. Well done. She's listening. That's good. an angel of the Lord. That's who. What a wonderful task for an angel to do. To roll away the stone that held Jesus captive, which prevented people from getting to him. Now, I'm going to take advantage of my preacher's license now, so bear with me. I believe that it was not at all difficult for the angel to roll the stone away. Now, for the soldiers to first put such a large stone in place, it would have been difficult for sure. They would have been puffing and panting, sweating and possibly swearing because they didn't know Jesus as the Saviour. People who do don't swear. As they shifted that stone, there would have been a lot of effort putting that rock into place. Let's face it, metaphorically speaking, the devil had taken thousands of years to put that stone in place. Jesus was where the devil now wanted him to be. But now down comes an angel of the Lord who just won heaven's lotto to get the privilege of moving the stone. This angel is a spirit being. He's not limited to the physical laws of this earth. And from inside the tomb, he just gives it a little blow. And the stone rolls open with an earthquake. By the way, I think the earthquake was a result of the resurrection, not the stone rolling. The earthquake, the resurrection power of Jesus was incredible. The angel didn't need the earthquake. He just needed a little. And once done, the angel proudly sits on the stone he's just rolled. Can you imagine an angel just sitting on there and just. Did you all see that in heaven? All those angels that wanted to do it. I did it. And he sits there. And once done, the angel proudly sits on the stone he's just rolled, waiting for the ladies to come by because God had already told him they're on their way. This blessed angel was itching to be the first to tell the good news to the severely grieving women. Can you imagine? Don't you just love it when you talk to someone who's miserable and after having spent time with you, they're joyful again? This angel's news was about to change the lives of these women forever. Woohoo! They were about to transform from a miserable state of despair into exceedingly, ecstatically happy party women within a split second. The news was wonderful news. The moving of the stone was a spectacular event, to be sure. But why the angel? Why not the Holy Spirit or Jesus? Why didn't God organize his disciples to do it? But no, he chose an angel. Why the angel? Why did the angel roll the stone away? The angel came down, rolled back the stone from the doorway, and sat upon it. Jesus could have rolled back the stone himself by his own power. Let's face it, it took immense power for him to be raised from the dead. He could have done it. He had the power. But instead, God chose to have it done by an angel. Listen to me now. Listen, everybody. I firmly believe that God chose to have it done by an angel to signify that having done all that is requirement in payment for our sin, Jesus did not break prison, but he had a fair and legal discharge obtained from heaven. He did not break prison, but had a fair and legal discharge. And for this reason, an officer of the throne of the Almighty God, an angel, was sent on purpose to roll away the stone and open the prison door, which would never have been done if Jesus had not made a full payment for our wrongdoing. Jesus was delivered for our offences. He was raised again for our justification. He died to pay our debt and rose again to gain our acquittal. On Good Friday, the stone of our sins was rolled to the door of the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me again. The stone of our sins was rolled to the door of the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. That stone represented our sins. It is because of our sins he died and was separated from God and us. The stone of our sins was rolled to the door of the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ, but to demonstrate that divine justice was satisfied, an angel was commissioned to roll back the stone. The angel did not raise Jesus from the dead, but by rolling away the stone, the angel implied heaven's consent of Christ's release and the joy of heaven in it. The angel was God's soldier saying, he's paid the full price for the sin of the world, and we're now officially letting him out. He's done your time. He's done your time. He's done your time. Jesus has done your time. Has Jesus been released for you? You are not released from sin unless you believe he has been released for you. You must believe in his release. You must believe in his resurrection, because if you don't, he's dead to you. You must believe in his release. You must believe in his resurrection to have a personal relationship with the Savior of the world. We're about to partake of communion soon in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. But before we do, I would like to give people an opportunity, if you haven't already, to receive Jesus as your debt payer, to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. God has made a way for you to touch his son Jesus. The stone of sin has been rolled away. Today is a great day for you to connect with him, for you to touch the Savior of the world. Would everyone please close your eyes, including the children this morning, because I'm speaking to you as well. All children, would you please close your eyes and bow your heads before we partake of communion, before we hand it out. I'd like to pray for you on this lovely Easter morning. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Saviour, I'd like you to lift your hand so that I can pray for you. Is there anyone today that would like to say, yes, I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again from the dead for me. Today, I want to acknowledge Jesus as my Savior. If that is you today, let me pray for you. If that is you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anyone? Yep, I see that hand. Anybody else? Yep, I see your hand. Anybody? Yes, yes. Yes, hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, we all need a Savior to pay for our sins. Today is your day. Anybody else? Yep, I see your hands on the floor there. That's good. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've spoken so very clearly to us this morning. And for these people that have seriously raised their hands today, Lord, I pray that you will indeed come into their hearts and make them new. Lord, I pray Resurrection Sunday will be a reality to them in their hearts. Father, help them to see you today. Help them to touch you today. Help them to know that you are there with them today. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for rising from the dead. We thank you for paying the full penalty of our sin. We thank you that it's done. You've done it, God. We don't need to do any more. You've done it. All we need to do is believe in you and turn from our sinful ways. Lord, for all those who have risen their hands today, I pray that, Lord, they will touch your throne of grace this morning and they will receive forgiveness for their sins. We thank you, Jesus, that you love them and that you call them now to yourself. And we thank you, Father, that you save us and you set us free. Amen. Amen.